preach this morning, to speak. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4. Appreciate y'all's prayers as we went up to Snowbird and had a group go with us. And we enjoyed it. A quick trip, left on Wednesday, got back on Friday, and really had some great messages and just talking about the miracles of Christ and how that all of them have a purpose and to show who Christ was. And so our students and our adults learned about that. I want to look at what if, what now? And so I want to challenge us today, what does 2024 look like for us? And my hope and prayer is that as we walk through this text, that we can apply it to our lives in such a way that 2024 becomes a year of prayer. And that we truly take on the discipline of prayer in our lives. And so we're in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Let's pray. Father God, I pray that you just remove me from this message. That it's not my voice that's heard, it's yours. God, I feel like you've convicted me and pointed me in this direction, in this passage, that us as a body of believers, 2024, can be an opportunity for us to join with you and to be men and women who are bold with our speak for you and bold in our prayer life towards you. So God, may you be glorified with everything that happens from here on out. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. 2023, how did it go? Was it good? Was it bad? We had highs. We had lows. I look back at some of the highlights of the year. And so for me, I kind of have goals and evaluate the goals. Did I meet them and did I not meet them? You look at the newspapers, the clippings of what were the big stories, and it's interesting, one of the biggest stories we had was this Buffalo Bills player who had the incident on the field, and everybody stopped what they were doing to pray. Whereas just a little while ago, before that, you couldn't do that. Like, no, you can't kneel. You can't kneel. You can't Tebow or whatever. But everybody, including the ESPN announcer, said, "Hey, I know everybody says, hey, we're going to pray." He stopped what he was doing, commentating, and prayed on national TV to his God because he was a Christian. Why? Because something significant happened. Something tragic happened. And sometimes that's when we pray. And we should. We should pray when those things happen. We should pray. And when the Israel got attacked, and I'm like, I've been around there, and I've been to some of those places, and I'm like, I'm praying for those people. We should pray for them. But is that all the time we pray? How important a prayer is in our life, and how important is prayer is a discipline in our life? I think of Miss Carolyn Crosby whenever I think of prayer, because she was a prayer warrior. Man, I loved her. She loved me and my family. And multiple times I would go to her and I would say, "Miss Carolyn, I've got this one student. Will you pray for them?" "Brother Tim, I'd be honored to." And she'd pray. I knew she would pray. And so 2023 was, we had highs, we had lows. We had some of us lost people in our families and our friends. Some of us had great joys. What are you expecting for 2024? A year from now, what do you want to have happen? How do you want to grow? And I think for us as believers, we've got to set some goals. Us as believers, we've got to set some benchmarks. And I think that as a church body, if we could become Sardis Baptist Church people who pray, man, we could move mountains. People who speak God's word boldly, man, we could do some mighty things. Not for our glory, but for His. And that's my prayer, is that we would understand in this text what's going on here, that these are first century believers and they're doing what they've been taught to do and what they know to do because something's happened in their life. And so my question is, what if 2024 was a year of great prayer? What would that look like? What would God accomplish through us that we'd get a glimpse of His glory being worked out in our everyday life? That's a miracle. That a loving God who created us wants us to participate in something that He's got designed, and we just need to be on the same page. What would it look like? Peter and John had been arrested for preaching the gospel. I don't know if anybody in here has been arrested for preaching the gospel. I don't think so. But they had been arrested. And what did the church do when they heard the report? Peter and John's been arrested. The church gathered and they had a prayer meeting. What did they pray about? Well, in verse 24, it says that they praised God for His power, His sovereign power. God, You are all powerful. You know all things. In verse 25 through 27, they quoted scripture back to them. God, Your servant wrote this. In 27, 28, they relate how that scripture pertained to Christ and God's will. There's a purpose for their prayer. There's a purpose for their meeting. There's a purpose for them doing what they're doing. And I think, and so they applied the scripture to their current situation in verse 29. And in verse 30, we see they ask God to do powerful things in their current situation. When's the last time you asked God to do a powerful thing in your situation? Is there something you're praying about? Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a loved one, a mom, a dad, a grandparent. Maybe it's a coworker. Are you praying for your coworkers? There's lost people all around us. Are you praying for them that they would come, their eyes would be open to the spiritual truth, knowing that there is a life with God and a life without God and an eternity with God and an eternity without God? Are you praying for that? Years ago, I heard a speaker say, do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Do you really believe that this Bible is real? And if it is, why is it not impacting every aspect of your life? And that's my prayer for 2024, that it would impact every aspect of my life. That conversations are being pointed back to Jesus. That conversation will be, boy, someone say, hey, will you pray for me? Well, let's pray right now. Let's just stop everything and just pray right now. Most of y'all know my sister-in-law was on vacation and ended up being sick, and they ended up taking her to the hospital in Miami, and they found a mass on her pancreas. She's 52 years old. Had to have surgery a week before last. And they think they got it all. It's cancer. It rocked their world. It turned everything upside down. What they planned was, but prayer life changed. Why? Because something significant happened. That happens all the time in our lives, right? But I think over and over again, we use those times to get back on track or to say, God, help us in this situation. And we should. I'm not saying we don't do that. But what would it be if we focused on prayer every single day of our life? What would it look like? What if this year was a year of great prayer? What would Sardis look like? What impact could we have in our community and around the world? What if this was a year of great shaking? In verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Man, we'd think there's an earthquake going on, right? I mean, let's be honest. If we prayed and it started shaking, whoo, there's an earthquake. What if we realize that's God's power moving among us and equipping us to do some things that we don't think is possible? What are you praying for? Who are you praying for? I've got a pastor friend who's a counselor, and he has people that want to meet with him all the time about counseling, marriage counseling, family counseling, everything. And he'll set that first appointment, and he says, all right, today, say January 1st, they meet. All right, so, and what day can you meet? I need an hour of your time. 4 weeks, need an hour of your time. And they pick out the next 4 weeks, an hour of the time. He goes, okay. He goes, all right, so from this point on, you know, you're going to go into the sanctuary and you're going to pray for an hour about your situation. So today and the next 4 weeks, you're going to come here and you're going to pray as a couple, as a family, for an hour, and then I'll talk to you. And he said, you'd be shocked at how many people won't do that. Because they don't really want help from God. They want someone to talk to about their problems and kind of help them solve problems. But they don't want to go through the issues of and allowing God to be who God is. What it would look like if this was a year of great shaking in our lives. What happened when these people prayed? It said a great shaking took place. Hey, there may be some shaking that needs to take place in our lives. Maybe shaking off of some things that are hindering us from praying. Maybe some redirection of our priorities in our life that hey, you know, I'm spending too much time focusing on this or too much time doing this, and I just need to, you know, Jesus got up often while it was still dark to go and pray. If Jesus needed prayer, I know I do. What if this was a year of great shaking at Sardis? Number three, what if this was a year of great boldness? It says, and they spoke the word of God boldly. The world is trying to say there is no absolute truth. God's word says there is absolute truth, and it is God's word. What he says is truth no matter the circumstance. No matter what you feel, no matter what you think, it's God's word. I had a conversation with somebody recently, and out of the blue, they just said, hey, do you have a few minutes to talk? And it led to a 45-minute, almost an hour conversation. And they were like, you know my orientation. I said, yeah. They said, what do you think about that? It says, it doesn't matter what I think about it. I said, what does God think about it? Well, didn't God make me this way? Not if you look at Scripture. Do you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. I said, you believe that God created everything? Yeah, I believe God created everything. Then God created you, and you've got to evaluate what does God say, and then how does my life, does it line up to that or not line up to that? And we walked through Scripture, and I said, here's what you got to understand is God created man and woman. That's it. I don't care what you feel. I don't care what you think. It's man and woman. It's two sexes. That's it. No matter what science is throwing out there, no matter what political correctness is throwing out there, it's man and woman. And he ordained the sanctity of marriage between a man and a woman. That's it. Anything outside of that is not God's will. And so we walked through that lovingly. He asked the questions. I said, I'm always going to point you back to Scripture. And so as I'm talking to him, he goes, yeah, I haven't been in church because church hurt me. I said, I understand that, but God didn't hurt you. God didn't do that. God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. And it led to this, and it's an ongoing conversation with someone who's struggling with their identity. Listen, if your identity is found in anything than Christ, you're off base. If your identity is found in your sexual orientation, if your identity is found in your job, if your identity is found in sports, if your identity is found in your spouse, it's not biblically correct. I think if we got 2024 to be the year of speaking boldly, we're not casting stones, we're saying it in love, but we're speaking boldly, this is what God's word says. And I love you enough to tell you. So this guy had seen me, he knows me, I've watched him grow up, and so this conversation, he asked the question, hey, you got some time to talk? Yeah, great. And I took him back to scripture. Why? Absolute truth. That's what he needs. He doesn't need me to say anything but what the Bible says. God doesn't need me to say anything but the Bible says. The rulers of the time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were questioning Peter and John, right? They had thrown them in jail. And look at this. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this is verse 13, they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men. They marveled. You don't have to have a degree to speak boldly for God. In fact, sometimes the higher we get in knowledge, the less we get connection. There's nothing that you can't learn. If you diligently seek God, He will be found. What if 2024 was a year of diligently seeking Him and being bold speaking about Him? What would that make this church look like? What would that make this community look like? How would that impact our family? How would that impact our schools? And they said, hey, we can't do anything with them because the people are going to get upset. So they just said, hey, don't speak any more about Jesus. That's what they told them. And they said, ah, we can't do that. We're not going to do that. They spoke the word of God boldly. What if this year at Sardis begins to speak the word of God boldly? I'm not saying we're not loving. I'm not saying that we're argumentative. I'm not saying that we're taking this and we're beating it over someone's head. But when someone has a question, we take them back to Scripture. The only way that can happen is if we know Scripture. We got to be in God's Word. We got to know God's Word. What if 2024 was a year of great unity? Sardis, I believe, is great, has a lot of unity. I talk to people all the time, and I'm like, oh, I am glad I'm not there. I talk to youth pastors all, first of all, they're like, you do what? You're able to do what? Yeah, we are able to do that. God's placed us in a special niche, and we can go into the schools. You do what? Yeah. All over the country, I talk to people. And I think we're unified. I think we're unified as believers. And it says, verse 32, it says, all believers were one in heart and mind. One in heart and mind. What if we were all focused in on the one thing? When the church put God above men, what happened? They experienced great unity. You know what causes disunity? My wants. My desires. What I think should happen. There are some things we just need to agree to disagree and move on. Right? When you have a disagreement, like there are some things we don't need to fight on. That hill don't need to be fought with, right? Brother Paul has taught me that a lot over the last 18 years I've been here. Because I'm like, hey, we need to do this, 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 this. He goes, we just need to pray about it. No, we got to go. We got to do this, Brother Paul. It's got to happen. This is the way it should be. He goes, that may be, but we just need to pray about it. I don't want to pray about it. I want to get it settled right now. That's what I want. He goes, have you prayed about that? No. He's taught me. Sometimes the best thing to do is not do anything. There are times to do things. I'm not saying there's not. Conflict is good. Now let me just share this. Most of us don't like conflict. Okay, most of us don't. Some of us love it a little bit too much. But there are times for conflict. There are times when, there are times you got to stand on the word of God. There are times when you say, no, we're not going to do that because God's word says different. But if it's not clear cut in Scripture, maybe it's not something we need to plant a stake in the ground and say, hey, this is the way we're going to do it, no one else. I don't know, just food thought. Unity. I don't think Sardis is this way. There's a lot of churches out there worried about offending people. I am not worried about offending people because the gospel offends people. The gospel of Christ offends people. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's offensive to most people. But surely there's got to be a... No, there's no other way. It's through Jesus Christ. It's offensive. I don't have a problem with that. This group of believers determined it was far better for them to offend men than to offend God. And you go back in 18 and 20, it says, they called him in again, commanded him not to speak or teach, all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John replied, I love this. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. They couldn't help but speak about God. Man, that's what I want to be in 2024. I can't help but tell you about my Jesus. I can't help but tell you about what he's doing in my life. I can't help but share the good news of Jesus Christ. That's my goal. I want to have... You know what happens? If I get away from this, man, that no longer becomes my goal. If I get away from this, I'm like, it's all about Tim. What does Tim want? I don't want them to know that, man, I love Tennessee Volunteers. I love Tennessee football. I love Tennessee sports. I love that. I don't want them to know more about Tennessee, my love for Tennessee, than I do about my love for Christ. And I'm not just throwing shade at anybody. I'm just saying we got to be bold with our witness. We got to be bold. They should know what you believe. They should know who you believe in. And they should know the impact that God has in your life if you're a believer. And so in unity in this group of believers here, you know, they set everything aside. Hey, we're praying for Peter and John. They've been arrested. And in verse 32 and 34, it says, and the believers were in one heart and one mind. What if this year... Am I on my fourth point or fifth point? I don't remember. Fourth point was great unity. Fifth point is, what if this was a year of great power? Year of great power. 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. The result of speaking boldly about Christ was great power. In verse 30, they asked God to stretch out his hand and heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of Christ. And in verse 33, Luke records that God answered that prayer. And as they testified about the resurrection of Christ, they were given great power. And they were told of what they had seen and what they had heard about the resurrection. And so all of this thing, what if this was a year of great power for Sardis? Do you believe in miracles? I believe miracles still happen today. And it was great. We spent 3 days at Snowbird and going over some miracles. And I've seen miracles in my life of people and things that have happened that there is no other way but God. I was in the Bahamas on a mission trip, I probably shared this story. You know, hindsight's 20/20, right? Yeah. So we're in the Bahamas, and we've got youth down in the Bahamas, and we've got a team down there, and we're in Little Abacoa Island, small island, and we're staying at this church, and we're doing VBS, and we're working around the church, fixing it up. And the Wednesday afternoon of that week, we had a free afternoon, and they said, Yaman, we take you to the other island and go, there's a reef there. I said, okay, that's fine. All right. They said, we bring the barge. Sounds great. Don't know what a barge is, but okay. So we get there's a boat that's probably a 12, 14 foot boat, smaller boat, pulling a pontoon deck. Hindsight, the pontoon deck had too many people on it. It's about 5 miles from this island to that island. We're going to go to that island, walk around the other side of the island, and then scuba dive or snorkel onto the reef on the other side. And there's this channel between the two islands. And we go through a wake, and I notice the guy driving the boat. I'm on the back of the boat, and he looks back, and we go through the second wake. And we go through the second wake. Within 2 minutes, that pontoon deck is at the bottom of the ocean. And the rope that we were pulling with snaps at the back of our boat. And at that moment, I realized none of the Bahamian kids we brought can swim. You live on an island. You don't learn how to swim. I don't know. Anyways, hindsight. And I start telling anybody in my boat, if you can swim, get out. And we start hauling in Bahamian kids. To the point where the bottom of the boat, the back of the boat is like water level. I'm like, we're going to sink this boat. The pontoon deck is at the bottom. You can see it's 25, 30 feet. It's crystal clear. It's right there. One of the scariest moments in ministry I've ever had is taking those kids to the island and watching my pastor, my youth students, my adult leaders get smaller and smaller, and then I can't see them anymore. And I'm taking kids to an island. And I'm like, God, help us. Because I'm responsible for these people. And there's one student, Morgan. I said, Morgan, get in this boat. Because I knew her daddy, and her daddy was like, woo. And the last words he said, he says, protect my daughter. Morgan, get in this boat. Got her in the boat. And then she started losing it. I mean, just like crying. Like, and I got her face. I said, Morgan, shut up. You can't do this right now. I need your help with these kids. You got to stay focused. It's on them. We got to get them to that island. That's all you got to think about. Got it? Yes, sir. We made it to the island. The guy, when we started picking up it, he hit the GPS. What I didn't know till later was the GPS never clicked. It never set. Made 3 trips back and forth getting people off the water. Had one kid almost drown, one adult almost drown. But everybody got off the water safely. And I'm telling you, that's a miracle of God that I saw personally, that I witnessed, that I was part of. And I just think God just kind of took his hand and said, okay, I've got you. We got back to the island. We did a debrief. One of our kids got saved because they're like, I wasn't really sure before. I am sure now. One of our Bahamian kids, like, I got saved. We saw God work a miracle. And God's still in the miracle business. I think sometimes our mind gets so cluttered that we don't recognize his power in our lives. And you say, what do you mean? I saw a miracle yesterday. I said, my son and I were taking vehicles back from rental vehicles, and we're on the last one, and we're talking and everything, and this guy just, he's coming out of a field, and he's got a hay bale, big old hay bale on the back of his truck, and he never looks our way. And all of a sudden, my son and I are talking. I'm like, surely he's not coming out. Surely he's not coming out. And my son just hits the brakes and the horn, and we stop. Don't know how we stopped, but we stopped. And the guy's just like, oh, I never saw you. Was that a miracle? I think so. Because my son was alert enough to see what was going on. Now you may say, well, that's just happenstance. No, I don't believe in happenstance with God. I think we miss some of God's miracles in our lives because we're not focused, because we get so distracted about things. What if this was a year of great power in our church, in our lives? They were speaking boldly. They were telling everything about what had happened. Two more scriptures that we've got to consider. Gabriel, what does he speak in chapter 1, verse 37? For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. What is that thing you're praying about? Who is that person you're praying about? Do you have a child that you don't know if they're saved? Are you praying about it? My mom, she was a prayer warrior. God bless her. I love the fact that my God allowed me to grow up with a godly mom who prayed for me. I love that. And I'll never forget, I was not a believer. I would have told you I was. I never forget this. I was working at Highway 40, Sonny's Barbecue, on a Sunday afternoon. And my mom would come in because her church was right around the corner. And this guy comes in, and I'm at the register, and I know him. I couldn't tell you his name right now, but I know him. I picture him right in my head. And he says, do you know where your mom is right now? I guess she's out eating someplace else. She's not supporting me. She's not here. She's not eating at my restaurant. He goes, no, she's doing something a little bit different. I said, what are you talking about? She goes, your mom is at the church praying for you. I said, what? She stayed at the church because she wanted to pray for you this lunch. And he says, and we're praying for you that you would see where your relationship with God is. Man, he spoke boldly in my life. And I was like, what? My mom's praying for me right now? I didn't get saved right then, but it planted a seed. Had another man who was in a wheelchair. He would come into my store all the time. Every Tuesday, he'd pull up his van into our handicapped parking spot, and by the time he got in a restaurant, he had a pork big deal sandwich and a sweet tea waiting for his, at his table. And we'd sit down and talk to him. Tom Dixon. And Tom Dixon had gotten run over by a bus and paralyzed. But he was a believer. And we'd sit there and talk about God and about things. And he'd challenge me on my faith when I wasn't a believer. And I had this other employee, or the other guy, Sales Edwards. Worked in the pine industry, something, doing something in the forest. And Sales would come in, and he would say, hey, you got time for lunch? He purposely would take his lunch later in the day so that I could sit down at a table with him so he could challenge me on what I believed faith-wise. Because he knew I wasn't a believer. He never said that. He goes, hey, I got something for you to think about. And we'd be talking about Scripture and Old Testament and New Testament and Christ's blood and all this stuff we're talking. And God keeps putting these people into my lives. Why? I think because my mom was praying for me. Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for your parents? Are you praying for those lost people in your life? With God, nothing is impossible. I didn't come to know Christ until I was 28, 29 years old. My mom never quit praying for me. I've got journals in my office that she prayed for me When I went in the ministry, she prayed for me. And when ministry wasn't going great, she was praying for me and my family. I've got her handwritten journals. She never stopped. And I thank God that I had a godly mother that never stopped praying for me. And she died praying for her other two boys. So you know what I did? I picked up the mantle. Okay, I'm going to pray for him, God. And this week, God has convicted me so much on how I have not carried the torch that my mom was carrying for my brothers. I've shared the gospel more with my brother because his wife is going to surgery, because we had hours to talk. And I was able to talk to him about God and talk to him about this and just to help disciple him. Because I believe he's a believer, but he's never been discipled. But my other brother, if we were to die today, I think he'd be in hell. I just think that. There's nothing in his life that points to Christ. And I think about, I'm like, God, why have I failed my brother that way? I want 2024 to be a year of great power. Not my power, his power working through me. A year of great boldness, that I'm reaching people with the gospel. Because with God, nothing is impossible. And then Matthew 13:58, he did not many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Jesus couldn't do miracles because the people didn't have enough faith. Oh, God forbid. If Sardis gets to the point where we don't have enough faith, that people don't come to know Christ. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? I'm praying that this year, 2024, will be a year of great prayer for Sardis. A year of great shaking for Sardis. A year of great boldness for Sardis. A year of great unity. A year of great power for Sardis. What does God want us to do? I have no idea. But I know things are better with God than without him. Who do you need to be praying for? Who do you need to be focused on? Who has God laid on your heart? Who do you need to spend time on your knees praying for and talking to God? Maybe it's, you're like, man, I want to have that relationship. And there ain't no better day than today to realize where you are in your relationship with Christ. Because I'm telling you, I would have told you I was a believer and I'd gone straight to hell. Because I never submitted my life to Christ. It was all what I thought I needed to do, and I grew up in a church, and I knew what to say, and I knew how to act, and I knew I could quote scripture, I could lead you down the Roman road, I could quote John 3:16. I did not have Christ in my life. I did not have his power in my life. I had not submitted to his authority in my life. It was what did Tim want to do. And when we come to know Christ, it's not just praying a prayer. It's like, it's all yours, God. Not mine. It's your will, not mine. It's your desires, not mine. That's the 2024 that I want. Father God, I've done my best. God, you know every individual in this room. Perhaps there's one that doesn't know you. Perhaps the day would be the day that they realize they need Jesus. Your scripture says that if we confess with the mouth and believe in the heart, we will be saved. So God, I pray if there's one here tonight or today that they would just realize that and take that step of faith. There's nothing in the Bible about walking an aisle. There's nothing in the Bible about even a sinner's prayer. But God, there's something about making a public statement saying, I need Jesus. May maybe there's someone here that would say, hey, I want to join Sardis. I want to be part of this group of believers that are unified. Maybe there's some here that just say, I just need to spend some time in prayer for myself, or maybe for one of my kids, or for my marriage, or for my relationship with my coworkers, or whatever it is. Don't let yourself leave this place without being obedient to God. Lord, move among us. Break chains. Set captives free. And we'll give you all the glory.